Action 9, news at 5. NorCal's number one choice for news.
Good afternoon. Our top story, a 4.3 magnitude earthquake rattled downtown Sacramento this morning, causing some structural damage. Our own Randall Fields is in Capitol Plaza. Randall, besides the ground, what's shaking over there?
Well, lots, Carol. And given the severity of the situation, I found that earthquake pun in very poor taste.
Yes, yes.
I'm here at the Social Security Administration building where a portion of the second floor caved in, trapping several people who were in the legal change of name office below. I'm told the building was especially busy as due to the partial government shutdown, office hours have been limited. Joining me now are two gentlemen who were inside the building waiting to change their names when the earthquake struck. Please tell us who you are and what you remember.
Well, my name is Donald McRonald. I was just trying to change my last name to Johnson and finally stop all the dumbass childish jokes when everything just started shaking.
Yeah, I don't even know how I got out. But I'm sorry. I'm feeling very lucky right now.
And your name is, sir?
Mark Penis.
Oh my goodness.
Randall,
okay.
Randall, I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to cut off Mr. Penis here, as we have an update from search and rescue officials at the scene.
I'm Dr. Shayna Steele, triage coordinator for family members worried about relatives who were in the change of name office. Here's a list of rescued individuals taken to St. Joseph's Memorial Hospital. Lisa Simpson, Bill Cosby, Mario Party, Tiny Dick, and Morgan Mindy.
No. Sorry.
The following people are at Sacramento General. Siblings Gary, Larry, and Mary Potter. Taco Bell. Ivan Jurgenov.
You have? That was gross, and I am sorry. Ha ha ha.
Pedophilia and Keith. How would you say that?
Oh, Queef. Keith Queef.
And I should mention that we did not know Mr. Queef was inside, so when he came out, it was a delightful surprise. We will update you as we learn more. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Let's check back in with Randall Fields. Randall, with this earthquake, any idea who's at fault?
Again, Carol, I find your earthquake jokes very inappropriate.
Yes.
I am standing here with a civilian who helped get lots of folks out safely. Some are even calling him a hero, Mr. Alan Hitler.
Oh, please don't say hero, and please don't use my last name, just an initial.
Okay, well, based on your actions today, I think the only thing that you share with that other Hitler is a last name.
And unfortunately, some DNA. He's my great uncle, but everybody's got that embarrassing relative, right?
Kind of. Okay,
Randall,
thank you.
Randall, I am sorry. I hate to interrupt Mr. Hitler, who we admire so much, but Dr. Steele has some new information.
Moments ago, a search team rescued this young boy who came to the change of name office by himself and didn't tell his parents because he thought they'd be mad. So, Mom, Dad, rest easy. Holden Two Dicks is safe. And might I add, he is a great kid. Holden Two Dicks has got us all laughing down here.
What a relief for those parents, as I'm sure they love Holden Two Dicks more than anything in the world. I'm here with two more folks who were able to get out thanks to Mr. Hitler. This is Julia, and I am not going to say her last name as it sounds very close to the N-word.
Yeah, I should just say that while it is spelled the same way, it's actually pronounced like cigar.
Right. But then it would sound like he's saying the N-word with a British accent.
I have to agree. Sound advice from...
Dr. Donna did a dog.
All right. More with Julia N. and Dr. Donna did a dog after the break. Carol, back to you.
Thank you, Randall. Coming up, more on the situation downtown where the mayor is scheduled to speak. Stay with us. For Action 9 News, I'm Carol Cumdungeon.
Yes. This is the second hour of the Red Pill Hardcore Real Show. Oh, boy. Yes, we're having a little fun this episode because, you know, life's too short. And we can't be doom and gloom every day. No matter how much we get blackpilled or you know, I call it crimson capsuled when I get enraged. You know, I'm probably going to do a separate show called that. Crimson capsule. But, yeah, it's, we just gotta at least point out the douchebags out there, right? Can we at least, I mean, I think we can make society, you know how society is made so much better by congratulating and uplifting those people who do have something good to say, and you know, we can uplift those people, you know, like MLK Jr. or Malcolm X, or you know, the leaders out there that we used to have. But if we can't get those leaders back, we at least need to dump on these evil people that are being put in front of us as leaders. For example, Dr. Evil. That's what I'm calling him these days, Dr. Evil. Can we play a nice clip?
Friday, January 31st, 2020, at 10:32 p.m., Dr. Fauci gets an email from Christian Anderson. Christian Anderson's a British researcher who's received numerous grants from NIH. Two really important sentences are in that email. Two sentences that get Dr. Fauci's attention. The first is this: the unusual features of the virus make up a really small part of the genome, so one has to look really closely at all the sequences to see that some of the features look engineered. Again, this is January 31st, 2020. Second sentence: Eddie, Bob, Mike, and myself all find the genome inconsistent with expectations from evolutionary theory. Email arrives 10:32 to Dr. Fauci on January 31st, 2020. 2 hours later, 2 hours later, at 12:29 in the morning, Dr. Fauci sends an email to his top deputy, Mr. Hugh Auchincloss. Guy has worked for Fauci for 15 years, part of his inner circle. Sends it. Subject line says important in all capital letters. He attaches a paper on gain of function research written by Dr. Barrick and Dr. Shi. Dr. Shi, of course, is the so-called bat lady, bat woman, the lady who does research in the Wuhan, China lab. This email, Dr. Fauci says, again, to his top deputy, it is essential that we speak this AM. Keep your cell phone on. Read this paper. You will have tasks to do today that must be done. Notice the intensity. Notice the focus. I mean, this is the house is on fire email here. Now, 2 hours after that, at 2:48 in the morning, Dr. Fauci's busy this morning, 12:29, that email he sent to Dr. Auchincloss, his top deputy, 2 hours later at 2:48 in the morning, he sends another email, this one to Robert Kadlec, assistant HHS secretary, Trump appointee, not part of his inner circle, and he attaches a different article to this email, one that says the virus came from an animal that downplays any lab leak theory. Now, again, notice the tone of this one. Bob, this just came out today. Gives a balanced view. Best, Tony. I mean, totally different from the previous. This is one like, oh, if you get a chance, read this. Gives a balanced view. So the tone is different, but also that sentence, gives a balanced view, it's not true either. That's just not accurate. This article downplays, as I said, the lab leak theory, emphasizes evolutionary cause to the virus. What happens next? What happens next? Later that same morning, at 11:47 a.m., Dr. Fauci's deputy gets back to him. I just want to read you this whole email. The paper you sent me, the one he sent him on that was written by the virologist from Wuhan, China, and Dr. Barrick, the paper you sent me says the experiments were performed before the gain-of-function pause but have since been reviewed and approved by NIH. Not sure what that means, since Emily, someone else who works for Dr. Fauci, is sure that No coronavirus work has gone through the P3 framework, which, of course, is the oversight body that's supposed to approve any grant dollars going for gain-of-function research. No coronavirus work has gone through the P3 framework. Final sentence, she will try to determine if we have any distant ties to this work abroad. She will try to determine if our fingerprints are on any of this. All these emails happen in 13 hours. So 13 hours after Dr. Fauci gets the initial email from Christian Anderson saying, looks like this virus is engineered, not consistent with evolutionary theory, Dr. Fauci knows some important facts. First, Dr. Fauci knows there's a lethal virus on the loose that started in Wuhan, China. Second, he knows the American taxpayers have funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan, China. Third, he knows that the research grant didn't go through the required oversight board. Fourth, he knows the virus, quote, looks engineered and, quote, not consistent with evolutionary theory. And finally, fifth, Dr. Fauci knows he may have ties to this work in China. His fingerprints, in fact, may be on this. So what does Dr. Fauci do next? After he says, oh, whatever, what does he do next? He organizes a conference call for later that same day. I mean, this is the busiest 24 hours I think I've ever seen. He organizes a conference call, 12 people on the call, Dr. Fauci and 11 virologists from around the world, virologists who've gotten millions of American tax dollars over the past several years. Now, look at this list. Here's the list of people. There's only two Americans on the list, Tony Fauci and one other. Most of them are from around the world, as I said. I think the first thing you notice is who's not on the call. Who's not on the list? Is Dr. Kadlec on the list? The guy he sent the email to at 3 in the morning? Is Dr. Redfield the head of CDC? Dr. Girard, who's with us today, assistant secretary at HHS at the time? Dr. Birx, the lady who's soon to be COVID response coordinator? In fact, there's no one from the government on the call except Tony Fauci. Tony Fauci and 11 other individuals who got a bunch of American tax dollars over the years. What happened on the conference call? The short answer is we don't know. We don't know what they talked about. I mean, I think we got a good idea. We don't know for sure. But we do know what happened 4 days later. 4 days later, February 4th, 2020, Christian Anderson, the guy who started it all, who said the virus looks engineered, Christian Anderson said this 4 days later. The crackpot theories going around at the moment relate to this virus being somehow engineered. That is demonstrably false. Close quote. What? In 4 days, this guy went from this looks engineered to now that's demonstrably false. 4 days, he went from this isn't consistent with evolutionary theory. Now we know it's totally evolutionary. But it gets even better. It gets even better. Mr. Anderson and three of the other people on this call write an article a few weeks later that says COVID is not a laboratory construct. And while they're writing that article, there's an email from March 6th where Mr. Anderson offers to let Dr. Fauci edit the article before it's published. And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. When the article is published, Dr. Fauci cites it at a White House press conference when he is asked by a reporter about the origin of the virus. Cites the very article he put in motion on the conference call and he was allowed to edit. At the White House, where he's supposed to be giving the American people the truth, he references an article that he manufactured. Now, maybe I'm wrong about all this. Maybe it didn't work out this way. I think I'm right. Maybe it didn't work out this way. But it would have been nice, Mr. Chairman, if Dr. Fauci would come today and answer our questions. He could have come here and defended himself, but he didn't have the courage to do it. And you know else who wouldn't come? Remember that email about the P3 framework? We invited Dr. Hassell to come too. He's the individual who chairs that oversight board. We invited him to come today too, and he wouldn't come. I'm convinced these guys knew right from the get-go what the truth was, and they misled the American people. Oh, here's the other thing. You know that conference call? That conference call? We got the emails regarding the conference call from February 2nd. All these guys were emailing back and forth. They were on that conference call. Here's what we got on the FOIA request. Here's all their emails. Every single thing is redacted. Every single thing is redacted about what took place in that conference call, because I'm convinced it was at that conference call where they said, we got to cover our tracks. And again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But Dr. Fauci could have been sitting right there and answering our questions, and he wouldn't come today. I yield back.
Thank you, Mr. Jordan. And let the record reflect that Dr. Fauci was invited Friday afternoon, he declined.
Yeah, so, you know what I want? I want... Well, and can we get, you know, Batwoman... The woman responsible for coming up the story that Corona 19 came, yeah, Corona 19 came from bats there in Wuhan, because we all know how bats are such great biological engineering creatures. Oh yeah. And Dr. Fauci, we need like, I want a picture. Can somebody Photoshop me a picture somewhere where he's holding up his pinky to his mouth? He's the real life Dr. Evil. That's what I call him, Dr. Evil.
That was I had not heard that, and I vehemently disagree with Jim Jordan on quite a few issues, but when he's on, and right here. Wow, he lays out some very, very powerful information. I've heard some of it, but the way I hadn't heard a lot of it, and the way he lays it out in that timeline is insane. That should be breaking news. We could agree to disagree with Jim Jordan on a number of things, but if what he just said in fact is true, and that timeline is true, reading from Dr. Fauci's emails, which were FOIA'd. Dr. Fauci should be in jail, and we should be completely rethinking everything that's going on. That's explosive bombshell information. I'm glad you played that, because that's all there in black and white.
Oh, I haven't laughed that hard since I was a little girl. Thank you.
Exactly. Listen. I don't know. I mean, this shouldn't be news to people, but that happened. What was it? 4 months ago. So this is the lies, people. I don't care if you are a conspiracy theorist. I don't care if you believe everything the government says. What do you say to opening bodies of interrogation where conflicting information is said? At what point do you start to question the system? When you got somebody that won't come to a conference to answer questions, I mean, that says guilt all over the place. That says guilt. I don't know what to say guilt even more. Now, again, we may have the Bat Lady, Batwoman, who's tried to get us to believe that... And you see how the story has changed many times over? They finally came up with a lie that the public was willing to accept.
Just the sign.
Oh, you know, first it came from bats. Then, you know, hey, you know, don't eat bat soup in Wuhan. Then it, you know, it's evolutionary.
That was racist. Yep.
It's only, you know, Chinese virus. You know, people should be worried about it.
I've
heard all sorts of things from China. Directions, but they have an official story that the public is willing to accept because the public is weak. They don't want it. They're gonna, at every stage, you know, there's some people that accepted everything that they said. Oh well, you know, those people eat bats. You know, they'll point the head off a bat. You know, these Appalachian Mountain dwellers. You know, they'll believe every story down the line. Why do they have so many iterations of the story? And need I remind you, before Batwoman came, Fauci was Mr. People were having sex with monkeys. I don't see how people can forget that.
Trust me, I've had sex with monkeys, and you don't forget that. It's harrowing.
What's that Dave Chappelle skit? Oh, you don't have sex with monkeys and people. You got two of one.
A true winner.
And they get the green light.
You can snap your penis off and throw it in the grass, you lose forever.
Penis pops.
Douchebag, scumbag. Who's the okay? How many more scumbags do we have on our list? I know I threw a bunch of links at you.
This is the play haters ball.
This. Hate.
What can I say about Don Lemon that hasn't already been said about Afghanistan? That looks bombed and depleted.
Yeah, okay, so we got, oh god, we have so much more. All right, so let's talk about camel toe. I want to see some camel toe.
I thank the gentleman for yielding. He mentioned double standard. That's all we've got from this administration relative to COVID is a double standard and a mixed message. I mean, double standard. I remember the governor of California going to a dinner with lobbyists and friends and family, no mask. At the same time, he was telling the folks he represents in his state that they couldn't have Thanksgiving with their family. I mean, talk about mixed message. But Dr. Fauci said no mask, then one mask, then two masks, then one mask, then no mask, now back to one mask. I mean, they've been all over the place. Yesterday, the Vice President Harris, let me just find it. Vice President Harris tweeted out this. Vice President Harris said, by vaccinating, increasing our testing and masking, and protecting the vaccinated, we can end this pandemic, which sort of raises an obvious question. If the vaccine protects, why do the vaccinated need protecting? I think it's a pretty basic question. So they've been all over the place on mixed messages. I think the gentleman's amendment from the gentleman from California, his amendment is simply like, look, if you're going to mandate it for American citizens, and if they don't get it, they may lose their job. Doesn't it make sense for people who are coming into this country, particularly coming here illegally, that they should have to get it? Pretty common sense. I bet the folks I represent in the 4th District of Ohio would say, yeah, that makes kind of common sense to me. That's all this amendment says. But no, the Democrats say, no, we're going to mandate it for American citizens, but we're not going to mandate it for people who come to the country illegally. That makes no sense. There's not a person I represent, I would bet, in the 4th District of Ohio who would agree with their position. But that's their position. And there's not anyone in the whole country who understands what the vice president is saying yesterday in this tweet. By vaccinating, increasing our testing and masking, and protecting the vaccinated, we can end this pandemic. What? I don't get it. If the vaccine protects, why do the vaccinated need protecting? I don't get it. I do not get it. But again, that's the one thing consistent from the Biden administration relative to COVID is their inconsistency. That's the one thing we know. With that, I yield back to the gentleman from Oregon.
Camel toe hair.
Well, go ahead. I gotta say, first, the Trump campaign was pretty inconsistent themselves. First, they were saying all this other stuff, and then they said masks are patriotic. And then Trump was saying, oh, the vaccine. And then he said, Operation Warp Speed, I'm gonna get the military to deliver it to you. But this is outrageous. Like you talked about, they keep shifting.
Hold on. Nobody knew what to do. Can you at least? I mean, they're not exactly coming up. Trump. And I would rather listen. I'd rather have an administration saying they don't know what to do, rather than have an administration saying, yes, this is exactly what you should do. Even though we're lying to your face.
That's what Trump did. He said, we're going to give you Operation Warp Speed. This is exactly what we're going to do. He's the one that brought us the vaccine. He said, don't forget, I'm the one that got you the vaccine. And so, I mean,
Will, I don't know why we got to argue about this every episode.
I'm going to bring it up, and the reason I got to bring it up is he did not believe
in the vaccine. That's why he took the, where's the hot button? Hydroxychloroquine. Come on, where you at?
Well, the thing is, the reason
Mike is outside.
Hydroxychloroquine. Hydroxychloroquine is an anti-malarial. Hydroxychloroquine.
The reason I bring it up is I always try to bring up the, if it's liberal, I'll do the same thing. I'll point out how the conservatives are. They're following all the direction. I mean, the police here in Massachusetts, the state police have, I think, sued. The union here has sued, so they don't have to get the vaccine or it's not mandatory. But yet, for when it's for them, they're going to try to do something about it, but they'll ultimately take it, or a bunch of them are going to lose their jobs, which will just mean more order followers. But the cops won't stand up to the Democrats this whole time. And the Republicans still love them. I always try to point out hypocrisy on both sides. And especially this is a lot of our listeners, this is the more conservative radio station. You and I are ANCAPs. We're voluntarists jacking in to this matrix. And so we still get a lot of people out there that support Trump, and people think that this whole vaccine mess is Biden, but we cannot let people forget that no, Donald Trump is the one that shut down the country with the emergency executive order. Donald Trump is the one that sat there and shut down.
I am not jacking in. I've been jerking off.
Well, that's why you're so relaxed this evening. And I'm glad.
All right, so Kamala Harris, can we focus now? Kamala Harris.
Oh, man, my darling.
And speaking of which, I still love your picture. If you've not gone to TLBTalk.com and joined up with Will's group, Will has a picture. It literally looks like Will is being held against his will and with a very surprised but relieved look on his face. And Kamala Harris is like, she's got her arm down. She's reaching down there. It looks like she just gave you the roughest tug job in history.
That's. I'll tell you what. That is by far. You guys should go check out that picture on TLB Talk. Find me Will Turbitt and check out that picture. I've got some cool pictures, and I'm not a person that takes pictures, but that is by far the coolest picture. And then in the background of that, there's like a Secret Service agent or some private security agent, like three times my size, and he's yelling, screaming. It's a great action photo. So you guys check that out. No, check out my video where I own Kamala on Auditing America and my channel. Kamala Harris is, geez. I mean, the thing is, do they want to peel back this onion? Do they want Kamala Harris really in charge? Because I think that Kamala Harris, you know, Biden, you know, he's pretty incompetent and he can't even talk. But, I mean, I think people would also, if Kamala was forced to be in the spotlight with the pressure on her, she wouldn't, I mean, she doesn't look good in short bursts anyways, but if she had to endure a long fight, to give a boxing metaphor, she might not come out looking too good on the other end. And I mean, I'm even hearing from some liberals that they're upset about.
She's going to age bad.
And by the way, can we talk about this real quick for 1 second? Have you heard two different groups?
Let's get a commercial break.
Okay.
Mike.
Are we taking it?
No, let's get the commercial break.
Have you guys heard there's a couple different Black Lives Matter group that are calling out for stopping the mandates and saying at least bare minimum should be a choice? So I was very happy to hear that and see that. And
there was the women who were discriminated against at this restaurant, and they had to get rough and rowdy.
Good.
They did a rally right there at the restaurant.
Good. We need to get rough and legally, lawfully rough and rowdy. But yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, See, and all it takes is for people to stand up for themselves, and that can have such a change. I mean, black people are the most imitated culture in at least the Western world. I don't. I'm not too. I'm sure in the Eastern world too.
All Eastern world too. Are, everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. So, I mean, when white people are unsure of something, and they're like, "Well, I really stand up to these mandates," but, you know, like my credit score, or no, I just go against the grain. Come on, oh shucks, Billy. But then if they see a cool black person, or just any black person, just saying, "I'm not having that," then they're like, "Oh shoot, the cool black person's doing it. I mean, I guess I can do it." But the only thing is, white people, we catch on too late. Like, we'll come and get your trends like 5 years later, and then pretend we made it. But we'll catch up. So black people, get out there, so the white people catch on.
Nikki, you know, I'm sad that it. Well, it's weird.
What else to Nicki
it
Minaj?
Came down to Nicki Minaj. Listen, I think physically speaking, that woman is the eighth wonder of the world. My God, is she gorgeous? Is she? Oh, I'd give my left testicle just for one. Anyways,
but no.
Well, I still have the right one to impregnate her. You know,
you still have the red pill.
She can be my Oprah. I'll be her Stetson.
You give up the blue pill to keep the red pill. That's fair.
Yeah, but you know, I'm really thinking that's the theory here. You know, if I must be a conspiracy theorist, let me be a conspiracy theorist for 1 minute. Yeah, she's talking about it's gonna make black men impotent and infertile. Nicki Minaj with a booty that big. You know, it takes a porn star's penis to please her. Okay, when we all start shriveling up, being infertile. Where's she gonna get hers at? All right. Anyways, next clip. Yeah.
No noble lies. You tell the truth on what the data's saying. You don't. And the same thing with the treatment and the antibodies. Part of the reason when I rolled out the antibodies, we were in the midst of a wave. Okay. People like Fauci said if 50% were vaccinated, you would have no more surges. We had that. In fact, our seniors were over 90%. And yet you see admissions going up. So what do you do? And people were saying, well, most of these people aren't vaccinated who are being admitted. True, 100%. I wish that they had been. I think many of them probably wouldn't have been admitted. At the same time, when you're in the midst of a wave, you can vaccinate immediately. It doesn't kick in for weeks, probably 6 weeks after that. So what are you going to do to help people in the meantime? And we were seeing people who were vaccinated getting infected. We hoped that it would produce sterilizing immunity. Remember the Pfizer trial, 95% reduction. That's clearly not happening. I mean, we look around, people are getting infected. The role that vaccinated people play in spreading it, I don't know, but I can tell you, I think every state in the country had higher cases this summer than they did last summer when no one was vaccinated. So it'd be hard for me to think it's only occurring amongst a small slice. So nevertheless, we saw that, and we knew our most vulnerable people overwhelmingly were vaccinated. So what do you do? Well, we had an effective treatment that's been emergency use since the end of 2020. It was used on the President of the United States to help him recover from COVID. This is something that many of our hospitals were using. But it was something that almost none of these people being admitted to the hospital even knew about. Many physicians, as of last month, were still telling people, okay, go home, hope you don't get deathly ill. If you get deathly ill, then go to the hospital. There was never any interest or belief that this should be treated or even could be treated. I don't know why. But I do think that one of the reasons why this was not something that was put out there very publicly by the experts and by the powers that be in D.C. is because they feared that if you tell people there's an effective treatment, you tell people COVID's a treatable illness, they feared some people would say, well, you know, maybe I won't get vaccinated. I'll just get the treatment. And so they didn't want that message out because they feared how people would behave. And my view is we've always said it complements. If you want to cover all your bases, do it as a compliment. But you can't not tell people that this is something that's available. And so the result is when we started doing our push, I was attacked for it, saying you're not supposed to do it. We did it. We raised awareness, which is very important. And then we expanded access. And the result has been, I think we're at, 29 straight days where the hospital census has declined, 8% reduction in the census this as of this morning, ED visits. This is all tanking, and it was the right thing to do. Now you have other states where they're now following Florida's lead. I get people will write into the office here from these other states thanking me because they didn't know about this, and so they started bothering some of their doctors in these other states to be able to get this. So having the treatment is the right thing to do. I think increasingly as we see more vaccinated people test positive again, I think most of the time it's going to be a mild case and you're probably not going to need this. But we are seeing some very vulnerable people who have been saved for this. And if you look at some of the places, I mean, Miami, I think it's like 60-some percent of the people that have gone to our treatment site in Dade have been vaccinated. Broward is, I think, 52%. Some of the other sites, more rural areas, the majority are unvaccinated. And I'd say overall, you know, you're looking at 40 to 45% of the people statewide that have gotten this treatment have been vaccinated who were either infected or were exposed and are in high-risk situations. So telling the truth, I think, is important. And I think that's what Dr. Ladapo understands, that you got to tell people the truth and you got to let them make decisions. They may not always make the decision that you want them to make, but I think that's much better than pulling the wool under the eyes. Now, we have a situation in Florida now where, in spite of this data, where we see far fewer people being admitted to the hospital, thankfully, we're seeing people kept out, we're seeing lives saved.
Yeah. Hydroxychloroquine? What was it?
Hydroxychloroquine.
Hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah. Get your hands off my penis!
You know what? Fauci kid definitely wants the Fauci penis. Listen, so, yes, I think, I don't know, who's a bigger global criminal at this point? We've already ragged on enough on the Ouchie Faucis. Let's move on to the next one.
It was reported at that time that you had a number of meetings with Jeffrey Epstein, who, when you met him 10 years ago, he was convicted of soliciting prostitution from minors. What did you know about him when you were meeting with him, as you've said yourself, in the hopes of raising money?
You know, I had dinners with him. I regret doing that. He had relationships with people he said, you know, would give to global health, which is a interest I have. You know, not nearly enough philanthropy goes in that direction. You know, those meetings were a mistake.
Okay,
they didn't
right
result
stop
in.
Stop right there. Listen, philanthropy. He knew people globally that will give in to global philanthropy. I think I are we getting the word happy ending and philanthropy mixed up?
Why does Bill Gates need money? He's the richest man on the planet Earth. Why does he need money? And he never really answers the question. He skirts around the question, and then she circles back. Shout outs to Judy Woodruff and Anderson Cooper for asking this question, and then she circles back and asks him another question, which he does not answer. You guys got to listen very carefully. Politicians do this all the time. Like, just imagine I was Andrew Cuomo, and a press reporter asked me, hey, what the hell is going on with all the sexual assault? What's going on with all the people dying in the nursing home? As governor, my highest priority is the safety of our citizens. It is the utmost priority of my staff and the state of New York in general. I've been working tirelessly around the country. So Bill Gates is very elusive, but he's also squirming like a bitch, because he is a bitch. And he doesn't need money. Well, I heard he was going to
try. But Will. Rich people don't spend their own money. You don't get rich. You're not rich by spending money. You don't stay rich by spending money. You're rich because you have to find a way to exploit somebody else so that you can continue to be rich. There's no such thing as a rich philanthropist, because if you were, you'd have no money. You would have given it all away.
And Bill Gates gave his all away because he loves us. Yeah, Bill Gates is a pedophile, man.
He loves
Bill
us
Gates
all.
Is a pedophile.
Bill Gates loves us all.
Watch how
we read this from the Bible of Microsoft. Bill Gates loves us all. He gave all his money for us for all of our vaccine, our virus needs.
He died on the keyboard so that we made it. So here's the thing, right? Is watch how he dances around and doesn't answer the question. And shout out to Judy Woodruff for going back and asking him the question. She didn't hammer him as good as she could have, but she didn't give up very easily. So I'll give her a great deal of credit.
Well, let's continue it. Let's continue the clip.
Those meetings were a mistake. They didn't result in what he purported, and I cut them off. You know, that goes back a long time ago now. So there's nothing new on that.
It was reported that you continue to meet with him over several years.
Okay, stop right there. He said he cut it off. No, you didn't cut it off. Listen, you don't. Okay, let me start here. I have a lot of people that want to come and visit me here in Poland. I have, I stopped meeting target individuals because they end up either being so whacked or you know, I even sometimes think that, you know, there's somebody, you know, psyop to come and screw with me. So I stopped meeting targeted individuals here. And Sammy, you out there listening? Yes, that's why I didn't meet you last week. You know, if you're not a really huge supporter of mine, you can't just say, hey, I'm a target individual, I'm going to come meet you. You haven't shared my show, you don't listen to my show, I don't know who you are. No, I'm not just going to come and meet up with you. Sorry. Not the way things work. But anyhow, I have had some people come here and you know, business. You got to do business partners. And every time, I treat them to the town. Nice restaurant, a great bar, the best strip club. That's a business meeting. Women, when you hear your husband's going out to a business meeting, listen, yeah, that's a lot of times that's what it entails. You got to treat your future business partner as though he were a guest in your own home. All the amenities that your city, town has to offer, you let them know where it is. You make sure they are aware of it. Yes, I've had many drinks with business partners in a strip club. Sorry, that's the way it works. I don't know. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything for you guys. I'm always an open book. I'm going to tell you the truth. So, when you are an international billionaire playboy pimp, and you got someone that's a nerd like Bill Gates, listen, you don't have several meetings over and over and over again without there being some physicality to it. Food, drinks, women. That's the arena for men. Otherwise, you can have business meetings by a conference call. Someone like Bill Gates should be a busy man. Should be extremely busy. Okay? Conference calls via Skype. Bill Gates owns Skype. Okay? Skype call. Conference call. You know how much time? And so that's something that a philanthropist cannot have enough of. It's time. He's not going to fly to you several times a year to have a discussion that didn't amount to anything business-wise. Are you getting me here? Your wife does not divorce you after 25 years over business that didn't come to any fruition. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, and don't forget that Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein only became friends. Bill Gates only became friends with Jeffrey Epstein after he got caught raping kids. Now, if you're someone told me, I mean, like I said, if they try to say one of my revolutionary friends was a pedo, and I know he's not a pedo, and they throw it on him, then I'm going to stick by my friends. But these guys met after he got caught raping kids. So this is a whole different situation.
And, he came to his attention. And this guy's a pimp.
Look
at some of that ass.
And this is something that I've covered, and it hasn't really been covered that heavily, but it actually goes to prove exactly what Bill Gates says right now wrong. Because Bill Gates said that he wanted money for science, right? That's what he just said. So why am I reading Business Insider, New York Times, Vox? Bill Gates made donations to MIT through Jeffrey Epstein. Bill Gates gave $2 million. $2 million from Bill Gates to the MIT Media Lab. So he's giving Jeffrey Epstein money. So I thought you needed money from Jeffrey Epstein. So which is it? Oh, that's right. You need the Nobel Prize from Jeffrey Epstein. I wonder what kind of degradation that Bill had to endure, and he didn't even get the Nobel Prize. Oh, you want that Nobel Prize, don't you, Bill? Well, keep begging for Fauci. Dr. Fauci, give me that D. These are, as David Icke would say, unbelievably sick people. Seriously, these are legit sick freaks, like The Rock used to say. Sick freaks.
Unbelievable, sick, evil people.
Who is your number one dirtbag of the show?
Well, my vote is for Bill Gates, and the only reason why Bill Gates is because he's been there longer. I think Fauci may have had him, and Fauci may have had equal effect, but at least I don't think that Fauci is a pedo, and I'd be willing to bet that Bill Gates is a pedophile.
I don't know. I think that little boy might be sleeping in Fauci's cabin somewhere.
Dr. Fauci, right, let me outside. I'm trapped in the closet.
All right, what about you, Mike? Who's your most evil person on today's list?
That's you, the real Mike. We're talking about
Can we call you Uncle Fauci?
Can we call you Uncle?
Give it to me straight, Uncle Fauci.
Don't make me beg.
Tell me all the way.
Oh.
Gag me with a mask, Uncle Fauci.
Oh, wow.
Uncle Fauci.
Shoot it on my mask. Yeah.
Droplets. Put the droplets on my mask, Uncle Fauci.
Man, that's the only way. That's the only way you can have safe sex.
And that's why we double match.
A true winner.
Mom approves.
And it gets a green light from Mom. I'm Bill Gates, and I just was having some meetings, and those were a long time.
You met with him many times. I love how, okay, he's Bill Gates. You know, he doesn't touch the same air that you're going to breathe unless you've been vetted and checked and cross-checked and referenced. Shut up, dude.
Exactly.
Billy the Gates here. I met with Jeffrey.
Everybody has a publicist. A publicist can tell you, don't be involved with this person. Don't be involved with that person. This person's a risk to your reputation.
I love that. What is she, PBS or NPR? The lady interviewing her? What is this? Your PBS lady where she's just kind of like, okay, well... he had been convicted of soliciting sex from minor. Bill Gates' face is just priceless all through this, dude. His face is priceless. He's just like, well, what the fuck? Well, can I call you Uncle Fauci? Can I call you Uncle Epstein? That would make me feel good.
Oh.
Good Lord. All right, Bill Gates.
So who's
man.
Your pick?
I don't know. Bill Gates. Man.
Bill Gates?
I think it's Bill Gates, dude. I mean, he seems kind of like a nincompoop. Like, I really hate Fauci because I think, like, he knows what he's doing and he's really a butthead, but I don't know, man. It's a toss-up.
Oh, well, you know what? For me, it's a tie between. Oh, you know what? We got one more clip, don't we? We got one more. Let's play it real quick.
Yeah, here we go.
If business taxes go up, guess who'll end up paying them? You will. Hello, I'm Steve Forbes, and this is What's Ahead, where you get the insights you need to better navigate these turbulent times. Congress is debating this week a sharp rise in the corporate tax rate, as well as other business levies. The Biden administration claims these exactions won't affect you, that only big corporations will have to fork over more cash. Don't believe it. They'll hit consumers, especially the middle class, big time. Ask a basic question. Where do enterprises get the money to pay these taxes? A ton of economic research over the years has found that when it comes to these levies, companies are really just tax collectors for the government. The money comes from workers in the form of less increases in pay, shareholders in lower dividend payments and less growth and even perhaps declines in the value of their stocks, and customers in the form of higher prices. Contrary to White House assertions, there is no free lunch. The bipartisan Congressional Joint Committee on Taxation has found that over the next 10 years, low and middle income taxpayers will pay 2/3 of the Democrats' corporate tax increase. The committee is not alone in this shocking analysis. The left-leaning Tax Policy Center concludes that the Democrats' plan would raise taxes on 75% of middle-class families within a year and 95% within 10 years. So much for the White House assertion that only the rich will pay. Democrats are also plotting to hurt small businesses by sharply curtailing a special reduction they got in the 2017 tax cut bill. There is additional damage if the Biden plan becomes law. The U.S. would have a higher corporate tax than China, not to mention every other developed country. Before the corporate tax was cut in 2017, a number of companies engaged in what is called a tax inversion. That is, they moved their headquarters or base of operations overseas to get a lower or more benign tax rate. The lower rate enacted in that 2017 legislation stopped inversions because our level of taxation was now below the global average. Thanks to that law, more than $1 trillion of corporate cash parked overseas was repatriated to the U.S. The Biden bill would reverse this healthy process. A hostile tax environment, Biden's plan would also reduce the flow of foreign capital to our shores. All this means a worse economy.
We got the point. So here we have Joe Biden purposefully trying to destroy the middle class. You know what happens when the middle class is destroyed? You have communism. You have totalitarian control. No more capitalism. Because you, as a person, can't have a business unless you are going along with the mandates. That is going to systematically destroy your genome and your offspring. It's completely destroy your bloodline. How about that? You gotta be owned by the government through their CRISPR program. So, you know what? My biggest dirtbag of this episode, I don't know. I'm going to say it's a three-way tie between Biden, Don Lemon, and Bill Gates. I don't know. I can't choose. If I have to choose one, definitely Joe Biden. I don't know. Bill Gates. Bill Gates. I'll choose Bill Gates. So I think Bill Gates wins it for this episode of Biggest Dirtbag Possible. I don't know. Guys, I want you to join my social network, tlbtalk.com. Let your thoughts be known. Join up, create a profile, create a group, and get your political movement going. Okay, freedom of speech. It's time to end the silence. Just tear down the censorship curtain. Let your feelings be known. Be heard. All right? This has been another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I am your host, B. And remember, in the land of surveillance, the man with the third eye is king. So please educate yourself.
My wife's father has introduced me to stogies. What is she gonna say?
Next time, Red Pill Hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill.
Say hello to my little friend!
Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies? See them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of your women. That is good. That is good.
Tune in next time to Red Pill Hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill.
True winner.
Gonna get the green light from Mom.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.